Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Eric Holmes. In today's Halloween-themed episode, a heavily armored bounty hunter armed with advanced alien tech takes on a supernatural powerhouse with vampire genetics and human cunning. In one corner, you have Boba Fett, a battle-hardened bounty hunter with Mandalorian armor, I gotta be able to say that properly, advanced weaponry, and decades of kill-or-be-killed survival tactics across the Star Wars galaxy. And in the other corner, you have Blade, a half-vampire vampire hunter with superhuman strength, speed, and decades of lethal experience exterminating the undead with blades, guns, and attitude. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and this exact battle, wait for it, has not been discussed ever before, which means the Who Would Win show brings you the Legion of Audience, yet another premier geek culture matchup. You are welcome, Eric. I gotta know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
It's gonna be a very interesting matchup because I am a huge Blade fan as well, but the Boba Man is gonna show up.
The Boba Man.
Yeah, he's going to be spitting balls out of his mouth. The Boba balls.
I'm already liking where this is going. What can I tell you? Okay, listen, this is kind of an off-the-wall matchup. And one of my big wishes is that somehow Marvel and Star Wars, especially since they're both owned by Disney, can somehow have some type of crossover event. I know Star Wars has been referenced in Marvel movies before, but that doesn't mean, like, you know, hey, in like the Fantastic Four, they talk in the comic book, they talk about how they've known about Superman or whatever. So who knows? But I just wish these two would cross over in terms of universes, because a Blade versus Boba Fett battle would be absolutely insane and super fun to watch. And I know that Eric would be very disappointed seeing his Boba Man, whatever you want to call him, just losing horribly, but it'd be a fun, and then they become friends after, Eric.
Right.
They'd become friends. Like, they go out for Boba after, and chilled. then they would have a Boba Fett drink.
A nice chilled Boba.
That's right. I'm not sure where this is all going.
Big straws.
Big straws. Balls. Sorry, kids Boba at home. Balls. All right, listen, let's bring in our judge because, as we mentioned before, we have a new permanent judge to the Who'd Win show.
Yes, we do, baby.
Reintroducing one of LA's legendary soccer coaches, a local and actually kind of an international celebrity as well.
Yes.
In all facets of sports, reality. I think the Kardashians know him very well. I'm not going to, he's kind of winking at me right now as if he knows something that
I made
him
famous.
Did. There you go. Yes. It's the one, it's the only, it's Tadeo. Tadeo, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Hey, man, I'm so excited to be here on the Halloween. Sometimes, you know, I'm having so much fun, I forget the month.
That's okay. We're happy you're here for our Thanksgiving episode, and today's Hanukkah episode is brought to you by Springtime in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Look, you're familiar with both of these characters.
I am.
You understand how both these characters work.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Is there something in particular you're already kind of looking for from both Eric and I for Boba Fett or Blade?
I kind of feel like I'm already seeing Dog the Bounty Hunter versus Wesley Snipes. Like, I'm seeing these two dudes. I took it from Marvel versus Star Wars to like two TV and movie stars.
Right.
You know, one's in jail for not paying his federal taxes, and that's okay. I don't, I mean, I pay mine. But, you know, but I really like this epic battle because as a kid, you grew up watching Boba Fett, you know what I mean? He's out for the money. And then you grow up and you see Wesley Snipes and he's a bad ass. Mm-hmm. You know, letter.
Certified,
I mean,
certified.
So, you know, these are characters I actually both know and love.
And you know, I'm just going to put it out there. I was really going back and forth. Like, should I use Blade from the Marvel films? You know, we saw him again in Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm. He was absolutely fantastic. Or should I go with the comic book? I'm going with the comic book version.
Okay.
Just to let you know, a bit more of a history. He's got some cooler accomplishments, if you can believe that.
No way.
That's right. And the cool thing about Boba Fett, one of the things I love, Eric and I, we were talking about this, is how the characters that we're talking about in Star Wars, the comic books that come out at least after 2014, when, you know, Disney kind of picked up Star Wars, those are in continuity. So anything that technically happens in a comic book is part of the character.
Like,
right?
That.
So, okay. Eric, are you kind of winking at me like you already knew this and there's a lot for you to pull up? Where's your head at so far?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of different angles I'm going to probably take on this one. So, very excited.
I'm not good with how confident you are right now. This is not some type of bravado. This is no, like, you know, kind of facade. This is Eric kind of, I've seen Eric confident Fantastic Four.
It's a little spooky, right?
It's like, a little spooky.
It's a Halloween special.
It's a Halloween special. All right. We have the makings for an epic Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas,
Kwanzaa.
Sure, all the major holidays special, but it's Diwali. Actually, what's that?
Diwali,
and but it's a Halloween special, which means it's
Los Muertos.
Yes, but, exactly.
But hold on, but can I chime in?
Yes.
Did you see my costume? For those who can't see it, did you know who I showed up and pulled up as?
What's up, baby?
I came here as the number one football player, number one football college in the world, in the USA.
Let's go.
USC Trojans. Fight and on. I came Fight as on. An alum, yes. Eric Holmes.
Yes.
So I'm a college football star.
Yeah,
I came as your co-host. I'm not going to favor him. Don't worry. I'm not favoring him in the contest.
Why would I think that?
Finish, James.
But James, I came here as a Division I yes. college football star yes. representing Eric.
Fight on, baby. Woo! Thank you. Feel the love. Okay. SC, baby.
I really,
just
that's
such as a football player repping Bush and me. So, yeah. Thank you.
That's such a great costume. Today's episode is brought to you by Eric Holmes. Eric Holmes, supporting the judge, paying off the judge to get a decision and a win finally on the Who Would Win show. You listen, I can't deny that Eric was an epic football player. I can't deny that your costume is an epic, but I'm going to deny it anyway. I think it's not an epic costume, and I think it's revealing. And you know what? It's just going to make me fight that much harder to get the win for Blade.
Okay, I'm going to try and be objective.
That's fair. I came as Blade's large Canadian sidekick.
I didn't see him in the movie. Was he in the comic?
He was in the Whistler. Background. He was like Whistler? Way in the back.
Okay.
He was way in the back making Whistler. Snacks. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because he took long car drives. He needed a sandwich and stuff. Anyway, okay. You're welcome. All right. Now, before we get to the battle, let's go over the basics about Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line in a Who Would Win match is ever one side to get the win. Their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now let's get to the table of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for Boba Fett.
Absolutely. So as we've been talking about, Boba Fett is a legendary bounty hunter who has clawed his way out of certain death, overthrown criminal empires, and built a foursome fearsome reputation across the galaxy. Seen in the Book of Boba Fett, countless Star Wars comics, and multiple film appearances, he's a master of ranged combat, expert in trap lane, and carries a full loadout of weapons, which is really going to come in handy as we start this battle. These weapons are crafted to take down beings far more powerful than himself, with Mandalorian armor forged from nearly indestructible Beskar. Calculating nature, this warrior doesn't just hunt, he outlasts, outsmarts, and dominates. Not only does he flatten squads of trained killers, he's proof that legacy and lethality go hand in hand.
That's interesting. I didn't know if you were talking about Eric Holmes in that last sentence or Boba Fett.
Thanks,
maybe
bud.
Both.
Thanks,
I don't know. Bud. No, listen, all joking aside, I've your reputation on the football field has precedes you. Let me put it that way.
I mean, Bush balled out, but I had my moment. So, yeah. Thank you.
That's cool. So, today, that's my strategy. I like make someone think that I'm really like into what they're saying and everything, not knowing I'm really undermining them the whole time.
That
could
work
for more. That's what I do. May have had some chocolate before the show. Well done, Eric. And here are the facts for Blade. This half-human, half-vampire warrior was born from tragedy and forged into a living weapon. Blade is immune to traditional vampiric weaknesses and enhanced beyond human limits. Introduced in Marvel's Tomb of Dracula number 10 back in 1973 and cemented as a Marvel icon through dozens of comic arcs, Blade has fought Dracula, Lilith, vampire gods, and demonic entities, being nearly impossible to kill and possessing the instincts of a hunter and the physicality of a demigod. Yeah, I said it. He's Marvel's most efficient monster executioner. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Tadeo, do you have any questions before we get started?
You know, I actually do have a couple questions. So is Blade a human or like what is he a mutant? I don't.
So according to the storyline in Marvel, right?
Yes.
Here comes some nerd knowledge. What happened was that while his mom was pregnant, this vampire bit her. Uh-huh. And, you know, as she was turning into a vampire, Blade, you know, as, you know, within the mom, got some of the vampiric traits, but not all of them.
I'm going to consider that.
Think of it this way. He's got all of their strengths,
yes.
but really not many of their weaknesses.
Okay. That works. And I'll, in the future, I want to hear more about Boba Fett's background, but I'm sure that'll come out because I'm curious.
Well, I'm sure Eric's going to handle his background perfectly. There's no pressure there.
Positive.
Yeah, I would actually expect his background to come out. Okay. And if it didn't, by the way, I'd be upset I was wearing an Eric Holmes football costume because that would be showing like he doesn't respect
right. the effort I put into it. And as a judge, you know, I expect you to come to court having done your work. I mean, you don't just show up in my courtroom, you know, unprepared. Okay.
Like, look how much work you put in to the Eric Holmes football costume.
Just solid. This guy's looking solid. Your neck muscles coming out.
Still looking 18, huh?
That's all. What'd you say? A lot of creatine?
No, I still look 18. Absolutely. Still look 21. That's what we hope.
That's true. All right.
Barely legal. I'm sorry, as we continue. Let's continue with the debate.
All righty then. Let's get this battle started. Eric, here's for your point number one.
Absolutely. So for my point number one, I want to get into Boba Fett's arsenal, which turns battles into art.
Ooh.
Delicious. It's delicious. Okay, when Boba Fett goes to work, it's not just a fight. It's a live scan. I'm joking. It's a live action chess match with explosions, all right? I could pass a live scan. James could not. That's another story.
Anyways, I thought we were never going to bring that up.
It's on record. It's going online. Everywhere you get your podcasts. Now you know. Anyways, yes. Also, his armor, his Beskar armor, which is practically indestructible. His jetpack gives him air dominance. You've seen him fly. If you haven't, look it up. And it enables him to fly for short periods of time. So it isn't like he just has to, turn it on and it's like, okay, he can't just, like, stop on a dime. With this jetpack, it's, you know, go, stop, stop, go, long distance, short distance. So that's a huge advantage for him, which Blade does not have any type of jetpack of any sort. But anyways, let me continue. And the guy literally has rockets in his knees. So the jetpack wasn't enough. In the Book of Boba Fett, Episode 7, he takes on a small army and wins, blasting Pike Syndicate soldiers, outmaneuvering Scorponic droids, and keeping his cool the entire time. In the comic book series, look this up, people, War of the Bounty Hunters, okay, Alpha. In 2021, he wipes out an entire assassination squad using traps, remote detonators, and some truly, truly disrespectful precision shooting. Everything about Fett screams tactician, all right? He doesn't just shoot you, he hunts you, studies you, and then he ends the fight before you realize it's even started. And all that, James, is my point number one.
Okay, look, I'm not going to disagree that Boba Fett isn't absolutely awesome. And I'm one of those, I hate to say it, maybe a few people who actually loved the Book of Boba Fett, the TV series. By the way, anyone who can get swallowed by a sarlacc and kind of survive it, you know, and just come back more of a badass is just an absolute amazing character. But here's a couple of little facts. Number one, this guy's been damaged a lot. He's been through a lot of wars. He doesn't have like a healing factor. He has to go into a Bacta tank, right, to kind of heal himself up. And he doesn't have that. Like he's you know, he's tough, but he's taken on damage and a lot of it. And it kind of shows. On top of that, he's a clone, but he's an older clone. Right. Okay, clones age very differently. We don't know that, like in the Clone Wars, the actual clone soldiers, you know, clone troopers, their lifespans, rapidly increase to adulthood. And I think they live half of the life of a regular humanoid or something. There's something like that. But he's lived a lot. So it's not like he's in his prime. And the last thing, he's got Beskar armor. I don't know how I think it's Beskar-ish. Okay. I don't know if it's actually that true Beskar like the Mandalorian, but even with that, just because you have like you're in an impenetrable tin can, you're still getting bounced around in a tin can. He gets hit hard. It might not break through necessarily right away, but guess what? He's going to feel it. That's still a hard impact. By the way, it's not Beskar head to toe. It's on certain parts. That sword of blades and all those weapons still going to get through some fun part. All right, now let me get to my point number one. My point number one, Blade's built like a superhuman freight train. I love Blade for this. If Blade ever got his hands on Boba Fett, the fight will look like kind of a cool nature documentary, you know, with that old English guy, and he's like, and here we see the armored bounty hunter being folded like a lawn chair at a Disneyland parade. I don't know why chairs get folded at Disneyland parades. I've seen some very large people try to sit in lawn chairs at Disneyland parades, and the chairs implode. I don't know if they get folded, but it's kind of a horrible thing. Here's the thing. Blade's stats are really off the charts. He lifts up to 2 tons. He runs at 60 miles per hour. He jumps 30 feet in the air. And this is what someone told me to say on the show. Hey, if you're listening, I'm saying this for you. And he treats gravity like it owes him money. I don't even know how that works, why that expression's here. Maybe it's from The Sopranos or something. In Blade Vampire Nation number one, a cool comic book from 2022, Blade dismantles a vampire strike team in seconds. He was dodging gunfire, turning the scene into a blender type of silver and screams with his sword work. When you are fast enough to dodge bullets, you can easily dodge Boba Fett's blaster fire. Fun fact, blaster fire shoots at a much lower rate of speed than a projectile from a similar firearm in the Star Wars universe. Blade's tank grenades, shrugged off sword impalements, and heals faster than Fett can reload. He's got a healing factor. I wouldn't say it's a Wolverine or Deadpool kind of thing, but he's definitely got a healing factor. And when Blade gets going, he doesn't stop until everything in the room stops moving. That's my point number one.
Okay. This is a good start. You're repping Blade quite well.
Thank you.
He said that, what was the gravity thing that your buddy said?
My buddy said gravity, and I quote, folded like a lawn chair, treats gravity like it owes him money. So gravity runs away from Blade.
Right, cause
yeah,
just,
I think. I don't know how that works.
You're just like floating all the time.
I mean, if you were Blade, you'd be like in a great place, right? Mentally, just like, I'm floating on air. No, he does not. No, and all he was trying to say is that he can jump really high and really far. That's
okay,
it.
Okay. I like that. Like, yo, this guy just like get ready for like his combine or something.
Hey, you know what? You know how you
vertical,
paid
how much of a vertical
you know how you paid the judge a lot of money so he'd be you on the on today's Halloween special. This guy may have paid me a lot of money for me to say this.
A lot of money. Well, let's note to self: I better not find this guy end up being a judge on the show. So we get to that. But this is my rebuttal to some of your points here, buddy boy. All right. Blade might be fast and strong and can jump through roofs, buildings, ceilings, you name it. But Boba Fett, remember, he doesn't fight fair. Okay. He fights smart. Beskar armor makes him nearly untouchable. Okay. Yes, he might have a few weak points, but the next part is his rockets and his jetpack give him the mobility to compensate for maybe a few weak spots, which will be hard for Blade to even locate, okay? Blade cannot predict how Boba Fett will move, all right? And his traps and tech let him control the battlefield. Strength and speed don't matter when you're outmaneuvered before you even know the fight started. That's my rebuttal, James.
Interesting rebuttal. Not that it matters, because let's see what Eric Holmes, I mean our judge, Tadeo, I don't know where, it's like I'm seeing double.
Do we look like twins? Are we twinning?
One of you looks like an awesome football player who just, you know, causes havoc on the football field. The other one's Eric Holmes.
Okay.
There you have it.
I did a better impression of him than himself.
That is correct. You know what? I like this new version of Eric Holmes. Yeah. Anyway. So you've heard one point from both Eric and myself, Tadeo. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Well, I'm really liking, you know, we got old school analog versus digital, because we have the jetpacks, which is quite fancy, and I see the tech. I've seen, you know, the explosiveness, and then the rockets in the knees. However, I mean, the natural abilities, it's like he's in a college NFL combine. If you're jumping 30 feet, you're getting a contract, and you're also going to kick some butt.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to envision how that plays out, the traditional strength and abilities and agility versus the technology of a rocket pack to be maneuvering around. So it's going to be quite interesting on the battlefield.
Interesting points. Yeah, and I was kind of worried about Eric bringing up the jetpack just to kind of be, you know, quite transparent. But let's see how this battle comes around. Stay tuned for point number two.
Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right, Eric, hit us with your point number two.
Yeah, so a little bit more on the Boba Man. Remember, he's not just a brawler, all right? Not just a brawler. He's a planner. I want to get back to him being able to plan, okay? And a manipulator, all right? And a master tactician who's been outsmarting killers and warlords since before Blade was even born, okay? In the Book of Boba Fett, episode 2, all right? He literally manipulates rival factions, okay? Plays the long game with Tuskens and sets up ambushes like it's second nature. In Star Wars, Bounty Hunters 1, 2020, he literally fakes defeat just to trigger a trap, okay? And blow his opponent sky high. So we can find Blade up in that sky, right? Because he's gravity, you know, owes money to gravity, whatever, okay? So we can get sky high enough. Boba can. Anyways, he also knows how to bait enemies into tight spaces, use terrain, and hit them where it hurts, psychologically and physically. Boba Fett doesn't fight fair, he fights smart. And he's someone who has been fighting, surviving, and thriving in the insanely violent and deadly Star Wars universe since he was a kid and his father, Jango Fett, was killed. And all that, James, my point number two.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. Boba Fett has to be smart because he's very often outmatched. As an example, in one of the episodes of Book of Boba Fett, there was that one of my favorite characters who eventually is befriended by Boba Fett and which is so cool, was that huge bounty hunter Wookiee with the black fur. I think the name was Kurzantan or something like that. Some weird name. Yeah, and Boba Fett just got absolutely wrecked by this Wookiee, right? Mm-hmm. Boba Fett got wrecked by this Wookiee. Why? Wasn't because the Wookiee was agile and fast, because he was bigger and stronger and insanely mean when they were fighting. Kind of everything that Blade is, except Blade can also move way faster and jump higher and all that kind of good stuff. On top of that, this is where things get really weird. That's why I love it's a Halloween special.
Yes.
So while they're fighting, you know, there's a good chance Boba Fett's going to start bleeding. Right. You know, if Blade takes his sword, puts it through maybe an arm, a leg or something. And you know, what's going to help, I don't know, power up Blade even more, or heal him a little bit, is if he has some blood. Huh. Right there. Boba Fett's got all the resources he needs just to help himself heal on the spot or even power up a little bit. Because who knows? That could be really good tasting blood. I'm not one to say it's not. I'm open to it. All right. Now let me get to my point number two. My point number two, Blade fights like he's already been there. It's like he's already fought Boba Fett. You don't live through decades of monster hunting without learning how to read a battlefield in one glance. Now in Blade number three, really cool comic book back from 2006, Blade outsmarts an elder vampire who'd been luring hunters, like high level monster hunters for decades, who uses traps, uses all that kind of good stuff that Boba Fett does. And Blade turned the trap around and actually ends that vampire hunt, that vampire who's a vampire hunter, whatever you want to call it, or monster hunter. And he ends the guy in seconds. Yeah, he's a hunter. In Tomb of Dracula number 44, back in 1976, I love these old school comics, Blade throws hands with Dracula himself, countering teleportation and illusions with pure reflex and instinct. Listen, you know what Boba Fett can't do? Teleportation and illusions. Right? Yeah. Just putting that out there. Okay. Look, Blade's whole deal is adaptation. So very often Blade goes into a situation, he hopes to be as, you know, knowledgeable as possible about what he's facing, but it's the Marvel universe with monsters, both supernatural, scientific, vampires, whatever you want, Bob, I don't know, whatever he's facing. He is often caught in situations where there's no way to prepare for it, and yet he still understands how to adapt. As much as Boba Fett can set traps and do crazy stuff, I mean, he survived. He's a legend in the Star Wars universe. Like, Darth Vader hired him, went to Indeed.com. I said, I need the top bounty hunters. We're not sponsored by Indeed, by the way, we should be. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, there's a top bounty hunters in the galaxy. I'm going with Boba Fett, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And even then, it's not like Boba Fett has something that Blade hasn't encountered before. Flying opponents, that's Dracula, except Dracula can fly way better than Boba Fett can. Look, you can say Boba Fett can try to plan ahead, but it's a neutral encounter, random encounter, neutral location, all that kind of good stuff. Blade kind of says at the end, I'm always coming with a plan, but if things go wrong, guess what? I am the plan. That's my point number two.
Okay, well, first, you mentioning Dracula. Remember, he's just some Eastern European wino, okay?
Wow.
So, like, there's not a lot of, like, training or, like, other than a wino who gets thirsty for blood. Wow. So Dracula's not a big deal. Nothing against Eastern Europe.
Wow.
You know?
That's
anyways, let's just keep Dracula for what Dracula is. Not a threat at all.
Oh,
just,
yeah, no. No, he's not considered a top supernatural threat in the Marvel Universe for decades. No, not whatsoever.
No, a little garlic won't hurt him at all.
That's right.
Right. Anyways, but listen, Boba Fett, correct. Listen, he doesn't react. He dictates, okay? While Blade's busy adapting, Fett's already shaped the fight to his advantage, okay? He turns terrain into traps, all right? And this isn't just limited to, like, you know, earthly terrain, right? Like Boba Fett literally travels, like, how many different planets and you name it. Anyways, okay. So he uses all different types of terrains he can make traps out of, predicts every move before it's made, and shuts down escape routes before the battle begins. Blade adjusts, Fett commands.
Ooh, I like that. It's very cool. Like how you commanded Tadeo to wear an Eric Holmes costume today.
Yes, I said Tadeo.
I got the wire transfer. Clear. He gave me
this episode is brought to you by Venmo.
And I said, here is my jockstrap as well. Don't you worry. This is included with the wire transfer. Here you are. Wear it around town, speeding down to 405 on your way to the studio.
Why would that be a thing, Tadeo? Please tell me that. Okay, so we're at the turning point.
Show him right now. Show him.
All right. Sorry, I just need to compose myself. Okay, I'm back. All right, Tadeo, you've heard two. We're at the turning point. You've heard 2 points from Eric. You've heard 2 points from me. Mm-hmm. Tell us who you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Quick question: Who looked for to hire Boba Fett as a top bounty hunter? Who is the force?
Oh, it was Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. Okay. All right. Now this is where I'm leaning towards. I'm going to put Darth Vader ahead of Dracula. I don't know if it's the deep voice or the costume. So Boba Fett being sought out by Darth Vader is kind of epic.
Of all people.
So that in an entire universe. So that right there, Darth Vader, like he's ruthless. So if he's hiring somebody, they're going to get the job done. So that right now is our tipping point. And I believe Dracula, he was at the AA meeting while Darth Vader was taking over the universe. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now.
I love how neither one of you understand. Okay, wait, so you're saying Darth Vader hired someone, yes. Right? Even though this is a random encounter, neutral location. You're saying Blade destroyed Dracula, but Darth Vader hired Boba Fett, therefore Boba Fett is superior at the moment.
Do you remember the SAT, pre-SATs? You remember those tests?
I'm Canadian. We don't believe in standardized testing.
It's a big thing in the U.S. I came here when I was a teenager, but it's a big thing here. So it's like, I don't know if I did well. I can't remember it, but I might have fallen asleep. But nonetheless, it's as if we create these formulas in the SATs. So I'm kind of thinking of it that way. I'm taking it serious like my SATs that somehow got me into college, or maybe I wear my name on someone else's test. But nonetheless, it worked. I got my degree. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, so the way I got into college was like, hey, I didn't get invited by someone to do something. Like, I actually had to kill like a polar bear, you know, and then wear its skin, like how you're wearing Eric Holmes skin right now. And that's how I got into University of Ottawa, which is a place whose degree I never used for anything ever. The point is, that's interesting. So what does Blade have to do to get the victory?
He doesn't need to send recommendations. But what I want Blade to do is I want to hear something epically just gangster. I want to know a tale. Take me into his world, because I've seen 1, 2, and 3. I need to relive it. So take me back to my DVD era.
Very cool. I love it. All right. Interesting words from Tadeo. It looks like Eric's ahead for the moment, but I wonder if I have something that might get me the win. Stay tuned. Find out. Stay tuned for point number 3. And we're back. All right, Eric. It's now or never. Hit us your point number 3.
So I just want to let our audience know, our judge know, and you, James, know, I still have one more point left. So you thought I was done. I'm not even done. I got one more.
That's kind of why I said point number 3. But thank you. Okay.
It's my third point. So with that,
we're on the same page here.
We're on the same page for once. For once. All right, here we go. Point number 3. Boba Fett never quits, never blinks, never misses. Boba Fett survived things that should have killed legends. Crawling out of a sarlacc sack pit. was his origin story reboot by the Book of Boba Fett episode 4. He's storming Jabba's palace solo, stealthing through corridors and silently dropping droids and guards like he's playing a video game on expert mode. Not beginner mode, expert mode in Bounty Hunters number 15, 2021. You remember 2021? We just got out of the year before 2020. Anyways, he takes down Balance and Cybernetic Juggernauts by exploiting his programming and using the environment as a weapon. I'm sorry, Cybernetic Juggernaut, not plural, singular, but he could take out multiple Juggernauts if he needed to. Anyways, also, when Fett locks onto you with that T-visor, it's already over. He's got one rule. No loose ends, James, and all that, buddy boy, is my point. Number 3.
Can we get him some water? I'm going to have my assistant.
He needs some milk.
Need some milk.
One last thing. He has his disintegrator, okay? Boba Fett. Darth Vader asked him not to use it because it would have destroyed Han Solo, okay? Mm-hmm. That's another thing that Boba Fett has access to, but he doesn't use it. So he has just weapons on top of weapons. All that's my point number 3, James.
All right, so that last thing is actually pretty good, but I did some research before we came in. I had a feeling you were going to bring that up. The disintegrator is great, but it's kind of a sniper rifle of sorts. We saw the Mandalorian use it, and with the disintegrator, you got to set up your shot. The person typically doesn't know they're being targeted, and you know it's not like a rapid fire, hey, pull it out in close range kind of thing. It's an insanely deadly weapon, but I don't think it's actually going to come to play because Blade's not going to be standing still. Boba Fett's not going to be like, hey, let me just go really far away and then kind of take my shot with a disintegrator. They're actually in the battle going at it. But that is a great point. I'm not saying it can't be used. Strategically, I don't think it's going to come into play. But with all that being said, let me get to my point number 3. And for my point number 3, listening to our judge today, I'm going to just lead off with this. Blade in the Marvel comic book universe, the 616 universe, not the movies, in the comic book universe, Blade has fought and killed gods and then clocked in for his next shift. I mean, that's the type of fighter monster that Blade really is. Blade doesn't just fight monsters, by the way. He fights, I don't know how to say it, he fights concepts. It's really crazy. In Avengers number 14, back in 2019, he goes full berserker mode, slays the Shadow Colonel, who is a demon-infused vampire warlord mid-siege, which means mid-fight. All of a sudden, this warlord comes out, demon-infused, whatever, something way more powerful than Darth Vader, Dracula, whatever, and Blade's just like, I'm on it. Got it. Takes him out. In Blade Trinity of Blood number 1 back in 2023, he cuts down a vampire demigod who literally teleports using blood magic. Right? I mean, this is something as great as you know, Boba Fett is, and he can use misdirection and tactics, knee rockets, all that cool stuff. He's not teleporting using blood magic. He's not a demon-infused vampire warlord, last time I checked. On top of that, Blades walk through fire, bullets, magic blasts, entire hell dimensions where Mephisto, the Marvel version of the devil, resides, and Blades walk through, survived, no problem. Somehow still found time to drop a sarcastic one-liner before finishing off someone with a cool finishing maneuver, pro wrestling style. See, Blade doesn't stop until the other guy's gone or until there's nothing left to stop. And that means, especially in the Marvel Universe, he's taken on opponents that caught him by surprise, where he was caught in an unpredictable situation. And now he's facing off and has to fight against opponents who are infinitely more powerful than Boba Fett, who have better planning than Boba Fett, who can outdo Boba Fett any way Boba Fett can do. And Blade, even though he's caught by surprise, still figures out how to overcome and absolutely destroy him. All I'm going to say is Marvel and Disney and the MCU, you have a huge responsibility to try to do a new Blade movie and somehow make it without Wesley Snipes, which I don't think you should do. You should keep Wesley Snipes. My whole point is to comparing that to Blade from the comic book series, that is a tough act to follow. That's why Blade beats Boba Fett. That's my point number 3.
Oof. It's a dynamic point there, James. Oof. Dynamic point. Dug deep. Went through all the 4 movies. Went through different time periods, eras, all that stuff. Long story short, my friend, Blade may have fought some gods and all that stuff, but remember, Boba Fett, my friend, he wins through strategy, okay? Don't forget about strategy, all right? This is a very calculated man, precise man, tactician, all right? That Beskar armor, that jetpack mobility, those deadly traps, let him control the battlefield, okay? That's a very important thing to have in your corner.
picking off every attack before Blade can land a blow. Every environment is a weapon. Every shot is lethal. By the time Blade reacts to all this, the fight is over, my friend. Boba Fett wins.
Interesting. Let's see what the judge has to say. Tadeo, you've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. It's time for you to make your world-famous judgment. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Boba Fett and Blade.
This is what makes this battle so great is they're both marvelous assassins and killers in their own universes. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're known for that. We've seen it on the screen and comic books. So we've read about it. We've witnessed it on our TVs. How I'm envisioning this, it's kind of like a mutant over or equal to a human slash clone. So I'm envisioning the battle play out this. You know, I think Blade approaches the scene and is a little overwhelmed at first with Boba Fett's traps. So he finds himself a little dazed and confused. And he's lured in via these traps and gets hit by one of the missiles shooting out of his knees, which is kind of bizarre and not normal. However, midway through, I think that Blade gets this superhuman, like from the womb, he derives the power that was invested in him as a mutant through his mother's umbilical cord. And since he's killed gods, demigods and warlords, I mean, that trifecta is kind of bad. That kind of is what I'm seeing could lead to Blade figuring out how to pick himself up bloody, bruised, and embarrassed and strike a lethal blow with his weapons, rendering Boba Fett incapable of doing anything for the 2 minutes. I think the resurgence of power in that last moment, because what really got Blade there was honestly his beating the demigods, and I just see the carnage and wreckage. He has that power-up button. And in this episode of Who Would Win, Blade wins. And in that win, he doesn't just win, we win. Because Wesley Snipes will be coming back on the screen for Blade number 4. And we all will be in the theaters supporting this victory that led to the movie.
Hell yes. And there you have it. What an amazing judgment and decision by the judge with only one name, Tadeo, who came up with something absolutely brilliant. Here's the deal. I love Boba Fett. Love Boba Fett. Since I was a kid, Boba Fett. By the way, I think Boba Fett was supposed to be the original design for Darth Vader or something like that. He was, yeah, I think so. I think he was supposed to be, there's so, anyway, I'm getting someone nodding their head in disagreement, but you know what? I think I'm right. My whole point is Boba Fett is legendary, absolutely fantastic. I love that he came back, but one of the reasons why he's so great is because he's not this superhuman. You know, he's a regular guy, he's a clone, sure, and he's got great weaponry, but it's his mind, it's his willpower that only goes so far against someone who, just take the physicals of Blade, never mind the training Blade has, never mind the weapons. And I didn't focus on the weapons because based on the comic book and the time period, the weapons change. He's always got a sword, he's got firearms, and I'm going to keep it with that. And I think you saw where I was going with that. So I think I agree with your decision. I think it'd be a fun battle to watch in live action. And Disney, if you hear what we're saying, please make this happen. But Eric, well done today. You rep Boba Fett really, really well. He did a great job. Came up short, which was, surprising, especially since you paid off for the judge to wear a Eric Holmes Halloween costume. Tell the Legion of Audience or fan base how you're feeling right now.
Daywalker. Whistler. Listen. It hurts. It hurts to lose against Blade. A guy that I should have repped myself.
That's so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a funky feeling. We're like, damn, I should have repped Blade and I repped Boba Fett and I did my best and I came up short. So it really sucks. So there you have it. There you freaking have
it. Listen, during the production meetings.
Blade fan,
listen, sure. Okay, let me pull the curtain back. During the production meeting, everyone's like, okay, here's the episode we want to do. Who thinks of Blade and Boba Fett as being like a great battle? We're all like, yeah, that's a great battle. Today I was like, oh, I can't wait to judge it. Eric's like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Who wants Blade? And I'm like, I'll take Blade. Yes. And you know what you did? Right. Nothing. Right. He was just like, fine, I'll take Boba Fett. Like, why didn't you speak up?
No, like, Boba Fett, you know, like, he got, I thought Boba Fett had it. So I was like, I'm just like, you know, rep them. And here we are with a decision that did not work out of my favor. the world famous Mr. Tadeo.
So. Was that money well spent to bribe the judge to make him, you know, dress like you and hopefully like sway his decision today? Or no, did that not work out?
The jockstrap, the landing of the jockstrap would have like sealed the deal.
Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't enough.
No. No, the jockstrap did not really.
Well, you know what I was expecting was a higher payout. To be honest, just the money hit my account, and I'm just a money man. You know, the ladies like my money. Yeah, they like my body.
It's
money.
$1 million. You're like great, and you're like, oh wait, it's Canadian.
Yeah, that transfer didn't work. Transfer when I put in my calculator, I was like, no, that's.
I know. Poor Canada. Oh, it's man. Weird
but,
money.
But those are tough movies, man. Blade's tough. Like, yeah. So congratulations, guy. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll take it. All right. Yeah, well done. Great judgment as always. Thank you for doing that. Actually, I like your costume a lot. And please come back. Well, you're coming back to the next episode. Right. It's going to be amazing. That's right. Eric, great job today as well. But, I'm sorry, let me do that over. So, Tadeo, great job today as judge. Love the fact that you're just bringing that wisdom, that intelligence, and that just je ne sais quoi that you've got to kind of examine the outcome of any battle. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You can find me at Cuerpaso. Don't forget to roll that R. C-U-E-R-P-A. So, and like I said, you always find me cruising around the west side, Beverly Hills, or at the beach.
I love it. And that's your Instagram handle.
Yes, it is. Instagram. Yeah.
Can you spell it out?
C-U-E-R-P-A-S-O.
My man.
I love it. All right, Eric, you actually did a great job. I don't think I could have rep Boba Fett any better.
Thank you.
So you shouldn't feel bad. Next time, feel free to speak up during the production meetings.
Yeah.
If you want to take that, that character, but you know. There's bribery. You can always try to bribe me to like not take the characters you want. We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Noted, James. Noted. Yes, you can find me on all my socials at the Eric with the C Holmes, H-L-M-E-S. Looking forward to connecting with you all.
Very cool. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, Tadeo, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.